I used to work on a university campus. Women from various offices would use their lunch hour to put on their tennis shoes, change into tight athletic pants, and throw on the old 1994 Gardening to Live shirt, and power walk the halls of the building. Back then, I was young enough to find those women unrelatable, but years later, I remembered them again when I plotted a mile in the building I was then working. I wanted to get my daily step count in. But that first building had walls in various shades of beige. The hallways were long and tiled, all but calling for twins to invite you to play. It was lonely and cold. There were classes on the first floor. I taught in one of the rooms a few years later. The chairs in the classroom were attached to the tables and there weren't enough seats, so the last straggler always had to sit on the ground. The entire building seemed to not care. It had bigger plans that didn't necessarily involve people. While the building also had a snack bar that was forever changing ownership, the rest of the building was filled with administrative offices and grant-funded projects. I was one of those projects. I would always feel slightly like James Bond when I would arrive at our unmarked office door and use the key fob, which would blink a light and cause the door's gears to grind open. I never knew anyone in the building except my coworkers. Even the administrative assistants in the various offices stayed distant to match the tone of the building. But it was the bathrooms that leveled everyone. One morning, I headed into a stall on the second floor. I settled in and I heard retching in the stall next to me, along with small, painful gasps. Curiosity has always gotten the better of me, so I leaned down to look a little bit under the walls. I saw black, chunky skater-style shoes with purple laces braced against the tile adjoining our two stalls. My first thought was simple. That's a freshman hiding out on my floor early in her first time alone on campus. I thought back to some of the more undigested times of my own life. Those Jaeger bombs can really be a killer coming back up. When I was washing my hands, the girl trudged out of the stall. She had disheveled, short blonde hair that was dyed green in a few spots and an oversized black sweater, black glasses, and a lip piercing. She bent over to wash out her mouth and stood back with a bit of a sway. She reminded me a lot of when I was 19, and I felt nostalgic. "You okay?" I asked. She blinked and looked up in surprise and said softly, "I had a kidney stone that passed last week, and it's still really painful right now." I did a sharp motherly inhale. "Oh man, maybe you should go to the health center." She grimaced and continued, "I'm on a whole bunch of meds right now, but they're not helping." We both moved to the door. She said, "I'm even on anti-nausea medicine, but I don't think it's helping." She rubbed her stomach. "Well, irony isn't fun," I murmured as I held the door open. I turned to the left and she turned to the right. "Take care," I said. She called out, "Hey." "Thanks for the concern," she said. I was taken aback and I said, "Of course." I couldn't help but ask about her suffering. She didn't expect anyone to ask. Back then, I wondered why even just a check-in with a stranger didn't seem like a commonplace thing. As we move through the distance we encounter in our divided nation, I wonder whether this distance hasn't already been established in our reality for many years. Perhaps we've taken the idea that we care about each other for granted. From my so-called millennial life, I'm Cassie McClure.